Good afternoon, Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Kara Hart along with Randy Conan and Megan Turnquist. The USDA released more details of the Coronavirus Food Assistance Program direct payments on Tuesday. In an interview with the Red River Farm Network this morning, Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue acknowledges the high demand for the relief. The agency is preparing for more aid.
The fact is, this is going to be a real challenge in hitting the bullseye right in the mark. So we're going to be looking at where we may have missed the mark, and we don't believe this amount of money is adequate, frankly. I think Congress understands that as well. They did appropriate and replenish $14 billion in the CCC, the Commodity Credit Corporation, there, but that won't be available until July. We chose to use the remaining balance in the CCC of $6.5 billion, along with the $9.5 billion they appropriated in the CARES Act, to begin a program more quickly, and that's hopefully what we can get done. And then we'll look at where the needs are that we may have missed.
Perdue also gives his thoughts on what U.S. agriculture could look like following the COVID-19 pandemic.
We know that this is going to be economically and emotionally challenging for many people, livestock producers, people in the cattle and the pork business who've seen their markets disappear, especially crop producers. We hope that it will not lead to more consolidation. We think the strength of American agriculture is its diversity and in many producers. I'm encouraging, frankly, on some of this price issues that we see between cattle over wholesale and live cattle prices, that maybe producers ought to think more about co-ops in their own processing.
Perdue speaks to the reasoning behind the payment limit adjustments in this new CFAP program, along with President Trump's White House comments on beef imports and WIP Plus quality loss adjustments in the full interview. Hear more at rrfn.com.
NDSU Extension Farm Management Specialist Ron Haugen says there are still a lot of questions when it comes to the details of that coronavirus food assistance program.
Yeah, with all this legislation that's hastily pushed through, trying to get the money out as soon as possible, there's always a few miscalculations and unintended consequences and confusions and questions, and they'll all be resolved eventually, but so there's a few unknowns at this point, but generally we have a good outline of what they're putting out, and it looks like some pretty fair payments, especially for livestock, and they're the ones that need it especially, So we've got some information now that we can work at.
And Haugen says crop production questions will also need to be answered.
Yeah, it's still kind of some open questions there when they talk about production versus your inventory. Is that technically your production that was sold but you got a delayed price, or is that still considered your inventory? Those are two questions that we don't quite know yet.
According to North Dakota Senator John Hoeven, the $16 billion in direct payments available for the coronavirus food assistance program will help farmers, but more needs to be done.
In fact, we have another $14 billion that comes to replenish the CCC account on in July. I talked to Secretary Perdue and said, great, glad we're getting this out. We need to do more. I believe he recognizes that, and we have to do more both for the farmers and ranchers. We have to do more to keep that supply chain going, keep those processing plants open. But then also, we've got to find ways to do more for our cattle ranchers.
There's a fourth round of economic relief being considered in the Senate. Hoeven is trying to work with some of the proposed agriculture provisions in the HEROES Act. Raising the Commodity Credit Corporation limit is also being considered.
That hasn't been developed yet in terms of what exactly that next step's going to look like, but we're working on it. But remember, we still, and I talked to Sonny about it, Secretary Perdue about it, we still have that $14 billion hitting the account in July. And so, and we still have that WIP plus quality loss adjustment. So those things we're working already as we're starting to look at, okay, what else are we going to need in CARES legislation? But it all has to fit together. Again, we want to make sure we're out there doing everything we can to help, but at the same time, we got to be mindful of cost.
All U.S. pork packing plants are operating now, with the exception of a facility in Guymon, Oklahoma. However, most plants are not operating at full capacity, and hogs are expected to continue to back up in the system through the end of the year. That will continue to put financial pressure on the swine industry. Nate Franzen, the president of the banking division of the First Dakota National Bank, is advising farmers to control what is controllable.
Whenever we're in a black swan event like this one, I really look to equity preservation, right? Key risk indicators. What are the key risk indicators in your business beyond those performance and production indicators that you watch every day in normal environment? What can you do to preserve your equity and maintain core equity, maintain that working capital level? Those are going to be just vital for you.
In this uncertain marketplace, answers can be hard to come by at times.
Sometimes we can just become so overwhelmed with all the information coming at us, we become paralyzed, and that's a really dangerous situation. Just don't allow yourself to become paralyzed. Stay focused on the things you can control. Manage the risks that you can manage, and recognize that you can't deal with some of the other things going on around you in this environment.
In a Pork Checkoff sponsored webinar, Franzen emphasized the importance of communication between farmers and their lenders.
Weekly report from the Energy Information Administration for the week ending May 15th shows ethanol production improving slightly to 663,000 barrels per day. That's up 46,000 barrels per day from the previous week. Ethanol stocks continued to decline. They're down 564,000 barrels to 23.6 million barrels. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. Ethanol demand continues to improve slightly as more and more people begin driving. However, Allendale Chief Strategist Rich Nelson is a little disappointed by last week's ethanol production.
The previous week was 41% under last year, so not that much of an improvement. Keep in mind, gasoline demand, as also implied by those EA numbers, that's running 28% under last year. So we are lagging at least a little bit on the ethanol discussion here.
Nelson does agree it will take time to get ethanol plants to ramp up.
Keep in mind, most of you don't expect these plants to really get back online, maybe for another couple of weeks. We have heard a couple of plants run by the Andersons back in business, but for the most part, there's still kind of a slow pace right now here.
Plus, commodities market analyst Jacob Burks says keep an eye on the corn market for short-term adjustments.
Your funds have finally crossed that threshold of holding about 200,000 contracts short. The last 5 years, you know, we've seen that number in the funds get to over 200,000 contracts short. And we've reached that point. Obviously it can stay there as long as it wants, but any type of positive fundamental news, via rain or via, you know, a little bit of a replant situation across the Corn Belt, that could result in something moving up here and having a positive short covering effect in that fund position.
Burke says those short covering rallies could be short lived, with farmers selling not allowing large moves upward.
Typically, what we saw last year with the MFP payment was when farmers have cash coming in, they're adding that to a sell. They're a lot more willing to sell at a lower price. And I think this is, you know, any type of short covering rally is going to give us some opportunities to get towards profitability. And it's always hard for the market to rally when the farmer has control of it, when the farmers are making sales. And so that's something that will limit us, I believe, on our rallies.
Planting is later than usual for many North Dakota farmers this year. There is some corn going in the ground near Jamestown. Terry Wanzik is getting corn planted ahead of the crop insurance deadline.
You know, corn has been good to us over the years, and I always remember my father-in-law before he passed away always saying, go by the season, don't go by the calendar. You know, and the season, it just feels like just now with these warmer temperatures and that, it feels like spring is maybe finally here. You know, to a point, we're going to head to seed some of our corn. I do know for a fact that our acres will be down considerably from last year, but we're still going to plant corn.
Wanzik is planting a little less corn acres this year, and he says there could be some local market potential.
You just never know what the weather's going to do. I mean, right now with this heat coming and the moisture in the ground, I'm hoping that the corn, you know, jumps out of the ground. And, you know, eventually if we can get enough heat in the middle of the summer, it'll probably catch up. But we just don't know. I guess, again, like I said, as a farmer, we're eternal optimists and have a lot of faith.
Some farmers are still waiting to get their first kernel of seed in the ground. Near Lakota, North Dakota, Huso Crop Consulting owner Mark Huso says conditions are still fairly wet. Farmers north of Highway 2 into Walsh County are having more success in fields.
You get southwest of Park River along Highway 17, and some decent progress has been made. A fair amount of wheat is going in, some corn going in. As you get south to Highway 2, it certainly is a lot slower, and you get south from there again towards southern Nelson counties to Pekin, Tallna, Mackville. You'll see some more activity, and then south of that, it's wet again. So it is kind of field by field. About half the group actually got some seed in the ground yesterday, and about half the group is still waiting to get that first kernel in the ground.
Huso says many farmers are learning not to push the limits and not mudden the crop.
Because we're already going to hurt our yield. And so right now we're up against the calendar when it comes to wheat and corn. We're already concerned. So we want to try the best fields we can to get those crops in without mudding it in. We are changing some seeding decisions. We're putting corn in different places we weren't planning on putting on corn. Same with wheat, same with barley. We're finding some of the previous crop cereal acres are in a little better shape. So we do have some ground being prepped for pinto beans, sunflowers. We actually have some sunflowers in the ground as we speak. Pinto beans probably will start today. So seeding decisions are being changed on the go.
This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. This year's Minnesota State FFA Convention has gone virtual, and the current officer team is making the most out of the situation. State Treasurer Maddie Smith says the officer team didn't sign up to have a convention. Instead, the team assured their respective roles with one goal in mind.
To be able to be in a position where we can make this organization better and we could contribute our assets towards the betterment of agriculture and agricultural education. It's not what we thought it would look like, but if you ask me, this is even better because we've been able to truly be innovative and truly lead. We've been able to keep both a traditional and some aspects and incorporated it with technology.
Smith is giving her retiring address titled More Than 10% to FFA members today.
So I talked about how things happen to us. Sometimes life just sucks. And sometimes there's things that we don't like and we simply can't do anything about it. There's a response. There's always an opportunity to respond. And so those things that we can't control is only 10% of our story in life. And something that I really like people to take away is the importance of being strong with other people and not having to rely 100% on yourself during tough times and being able to ask for help in whatever way that looks.
The remainder of today's virtual schedule includes several workshop sessions along with the second general session, retiring officer addresses, and a trivia night. The Red River Farm Network's coverage of the Minnesota State FFA Convention is made possible by the Minnesota Farm Bureau, Minnesota Farmers Union, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, and the Dinner Bell Creamery brand from AMPI. Taking a look at the markets before we leave you this afternoon, July Minneapolis wheat up 11 and a quarter at 519 and a half. July Chicago wheat up 13 and three quarters at 512 and a half. July Kansas City wheat up 9. July corn down 1 1/4 at 320. December corn up a quarter at 334 and a half. July beans up 3 3/4 at 846 and a quarter. November beans up 3 at 853 and a quarter. June live cattle down 47 cents at 98.30. August down $1.67. May feeder cattle down $1.15 at 126.27. August down $2.65. June lean hogs up 22 cents at 56.87. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a great rest of your day. This is the Red River Farm Network.